The Prime Minister's radical plan to allow the states and territories to set their own rates of income tax has been extremely short-lived. Today's Council of Australian Governments meeting in Canberra rejected the idea. But premiers and chief ministers have agreed to consider a separate proposal for their governments to receive a fixed share of income tax revenue instead. The federal government's also agreed to provide almost $3 billion in extra funding for hospitals over the next 4 years. From Canberra, Naomi Woodley reports.
Having only announced the details of his income tax sharing proposal on Wednesday, Malcolm Turnbull today conceded defeat.
There is simply not a consensus, not anything like a consensus of interest on the part of COAG.
Mr Turnbull says he respects the decision of state and territory leaders.
That is their right. It's my job to lead reform, to push the envelope.
The Northern Territory Chief Minister, Adam Giles, congratulated the Prime Minister for looking at ways to give states and territories more freedom.
I think we would all agree that it would have been best if that discussion came out in a different format, in a different way, and it's created some challenges to date. But the underlying principles of that income tax discussion and the reform of the Federation, as the Prime Minister just put it, is about giving states and territories more autonomy in freeing up bureaucracy and red tape. And from the territory's point of view, that's a welcome opportunity.
But the Tasmanian Premier, Will Hodgman, sounded relieved.
And as the nation's smallest state, Tasmania was perhaps in the position of greatest risk. But notwithstanding that, we were able to secure an agreement to explore an opportunity to better resource share.
So instead of Mr Turnbull's idea, today's Council of Australian Governments has decided to consider a different income tax sharing proposal, where states and territories would receive a fixed share of income tax revenue in place of specific tied funding grants. Under this proposal, there would not be an increase in income tax levels. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, says governments must use the same amount of funds more efficiently.
In other words, work within that fiscal envelope that we have to get the outcomes that we need. And that should be the measure. The focus should be on outcomes, not, with all due respects to others, harking back to unfunded promises that were made years ago.
That's a reference to the ongoing fury from most states and territories about the $80 billion in long-term health and education funding that was promised by the previous Labor government and removed by the Coalition in its 2014 budget. The Labor premiers from Victoria and Queensland, Daniel Andrews and Anastasia Palaszczuk, continue to rail against the funding shortfall.
There's no getting away from or getting around or politely explaining away the fact that many billions of dollars will not be flowing to hospitals in my state and hospitals right across the nation as a result of decisions made in the 2014 budget.
There is still a gap. There is still a huge gap. And that means it's going to place a huge strain on our hospitals. It's going to mean more work for our doctors, our nurses, our administrators.
But today's meeting did reach agreement for the federal government to provide an extra $2.9 billion in hospitals funding through until 2020. The New South Wales Liberal Premier Mike Baird says it's a big step forward.
Beyond 2020 to 2030, we have challenges. It's not just an expenditure problem. I think we have an expenditure and a revenue problem.
And South Australia's Labor Premier Jay Weatherill agrees.
The reality is this expenditure is locked and loaded. These people are coming into our hospitals. The real question is who bears the burden of actually meeting that need? There has to be a substantial discussion about increased revenues.
All states and territories have welcomed the acknowledgement from the federal government that future funding of hospitals is a shared responsibility. But today's meeting did not reach any agreement on the future of education funding, except to note it will have to be resolved by early next year. The WA Liberal Premier Colin Barnett had a chip at his colleagues for their continued protests over the 2014 budget cuts, and he endorsed the Prime Minister's idea that states could take over full funding of public schools.
You know, 70% of kids go to a government school, and the state governments fund 85 to 95% of state government schools. So we've already basically got that. We might as well clean it up and have a clear delineation of responsibility. It'll still all be a national curriculum, still be standards, registration and the like. So I just hope that we can, over the next 2 or 3 years, have that discussion and that we look at the facts rather than what we might perceive to be some of the issues or problems.
But the ACT's Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, rejects the school's proposal.
In the simplest of terms, if the states and territories are going to take responsibility for school education, then it should be all schools. We shouldn't have this split between Commonwealth funding for non-government schools and the states and territories having responsibility for government schools.
Health, education and tax dominated discussions today, but family violence, Indigenous employment and national security were also on the COAG agenda. The Commonwealth has announced it will urgently draft another batch of national security laws. These will be designed to keep convicted terrorists in detention at the end of their sentence if they're classified as high risk and still posing a danger to society.
Naomi Woodley.